back to the podcast. I'm Madeline.
And I'm Junie, and this is Sustain Loving Kindness. In this podcast, we talk about why it's important to take care of our planet and how we can help.
This episode is dedicated to our Girl Scout Silver Award project. Make sure you hit that subscribe button so you don't miss out on future episodes.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to another episode. We're so happy to see you guys. We hope you're doing great. In this episode, we are going to talk all about saving the rainforest and why and how and all different subjects on the rainforest. I know we mentioned some of these topics a little bit in previous episodes, but this episode we're really going to be diving deep. So we're going to talk about reducing your carbon footprint, buying reusable projects, how to get other people to help as well through social media, and a bunch of other things too. And so I think we're ready to get into it.
All right. So the first thing that I was going to talk about is why we need to save the rainforest. A lot of people, especially when there's a big environmental issue, they just go on right out and say, you need to come and help this, like help save the polar bears, the ice caps are melting. And the thing is, nobody's exactly telling why. So I found this infographic on the web, and I'll link it in our blog, and I'll see if I can post it on Instagram too. And it said that 2/3 of all animals and plants live in the rainforest. More than 20% of the oxygen we breathe comes from the Amazon rainforest, which, if you don't know, is one of the biggest rainforests in the world. I think it might be the biggest, and it's in South America. So a lot of the air that we breathe comes from there. Another thing is that 2,000 trees per minute are being cut down around the world. 2,000 trees. That is a lot of trees per minute. That's like 20,000 every 10 minutes. And I could go on and on, but I'm probably not going to be that quick with my math right now. So, I mean, that's just a lot. 2,000 trees a minute. That's already a lot of trees. And there are two main reasons that you might be able to figure out. The first one is for paper. And I know that nowadays a lot of things are digital, and that's helping a lot with the trees, because that means you don't exactly have to print out stuff that much. It's all just online. But we still use a lot of paper today. And the second reason is farming. And you might think, farming? What kind of farming? I thought farming was like not in the rainforest. So that leads us to the next topic that I was going to talk about, which is eliminating deforestation from your diet. And so, ranching and agriculture is one of the biggest problems facing the rainforest today. There's this movie, and some of you might have seen it, some of you might have thought that it was a little too cheesy for you. It's called Dora and the Lost City of Gold. It's the new Dora movie that just came out, and by the way, it's a whole lot better than the cartoon. But she grew up in the rainforest and was sent to high school in Los Angeles. And on her first day, there's this girl who is selling cupcakes to donate to help save the rainforest. And so Dora goes up to this girl and she goes, the rainforests, they're dying. And she said, yes. And she said, Dora said that ranching and agriculture is one of the biggest problems facing the rainforest today. And she also said that through plant-based diets, we can help save the forest. And at first I was confused. I'm like, wait, why would plants, like eating plants, help save the rainforest when it's the plants that they are cutting down? And she mentioned ranching. Ranching is like cattle, which are cows, also known as beef, which is what you eat in hamburgers. And the thing is, the number one reasons why the rainforest are being cut down is so they can have more space for those cattle farms so you can have your beef. Cattle farms take up 87% of farmland in the United States alone. Whereas farming, there's a difference between ranches and farming. Farming, where all your fruits and vegetables come from, only takes up like 1%. And that's a huge difference. So if you switch to a plant-based diet, you are saving the animals and the rainforest. By animals, I mean the cattle. And I know that most of you probably don't want to give up your meat, and I'm not going to make you. But I will ask for you to cut down on how much beef you consume. That's hamburgers, and I don't know, I haven't eaten meat in a long time, so I don't know what exactly is made of beef. But there are two big brands that are getting bigger because their plant-based burgers taste like real meat. And you might have seen the ads for them before, seen them at Burger King or something. They are called the Impossible Burger and the Beyond Meat Burger. And I've been vegetarian since I was 7, so I can't say it tastes the same. But I had a high school friend tell me that she couldn't tell the difference between the beef and the vegan one. So if you say you wanted to help save the rainforest by eating less cattle, you could just make the switch to eating those burgers rather than the cow ones. And I mean, not all cattle farms are in the rainforest. They are, I've seen a whole bunch of them in the Midwestern United States, and it's pretty sad. They're all crammed together and they are just being fed there and fattened up just so that they can be slaughtered and turned into hamburgers. And it's really sad.
Yeah. Sorry to jump in real quick, but I just want to say on the going vegetarian, there are, I know a lot of people don't want to give up meat because it's a big part of their diet, or they just don't like the way tofu tastes, or any reasons, and I understand, but let me tell you, there is a restaurant called Plant Power, and if somebody gave me one of their, I don't know, anything, it's a vegan restaurant, but if they gave me a piece of their imitation meat and a piece of real meat, I guarantee I could not tell the difference. It really tastes like real meat coming from somebody who has had meat recently. So there are several restaurants, including Plant Power, which is a really good one, that has, you won't lose any of the flavor or any of whatever you like about meat. They have it, but it doesn't, it's not meat. It's vegan. So anyways, just had to throw that in there.
Yeah. One thing I was going to say, Plant Power is only in Southern California, but I am hoping that they will expand to like larger areas.
Yeah.
Like their food is so good. It's a fast food restaurant. It's there. It's a chain down in Southern California. And I think they might have places like scattered elsewhere, but they're a lot harder to find than, you know, McDonald's that's like right down the street.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's other plant-based restaurants out there, but we're not going to go into that right now. We will go into that in the future when we do our food episode. Mm-hmm. So, the last thing I was going to say about that is in a documentary I saw, they talked about how if you just make the switch to eating more chicken and less beef, you're making a huge impact because chicken doesn't take up anywhere near as much farmland as beef does. I'm not sure exactly what the percentage is, but it's small, and I'll tell you what that documentary is later when I tell you about some others you should watch. Okay, the second thing to remove from your diet, or pretty much from your life because they have them from in other things, and that sounded pretty dark, remove it from your life. So it's palm oil. And we did a blog post about this, and a bunch of other people have posted a lot about this on Instagram. There are two reasons why you shouldn't consume it or use it. Not only is it like unhealthy for you if you eat a whole bunch of it, but there's more issues. Number one is obviously deforestation. That's why we're making this episode and talking about it. And number two is child labor. And I'll get into that in just a second. So number one is really important because you might have heard how it's taking away the orangutans' homes I think at the San Diego Zoo at one point they had something about how the palm oil is taking away the homes. I'm not sure. It was a long time ago. But palm oil is in a lot of products you use, such as L'Oreal makeup, Doritos, Oreos, or even Girl Scout cookies.
And if no you way, look, I did not know that. Sorry, yeah, I'm just learning that right now.
If you look in the ingredients, there will be some things like sodium lauryl sulfate or palmitate or hydrated palm glycerides. And all three of those are just other names for palm oil. And I have a whole blog post on it on our website, and I'll link it in this week's episode post. And there's a whole bunch of different names for it. And every time I look at it, I feel like I'm in biology. I'm like, please, not more chemicals I have to remember. But, like, you can search it up. I think it was on the World Wildlife Fund that I copied and pasted it from. And I gave it a source, of course, so don't say, like, there's copyright rules or anything, because I did give it a source. But, yeah, it's got a whole bunch of names. If it even has the name palm in it, or, like, certain vegetable oils, they have palm oil. And it's really hard trying to cut palm oil out of our diet, because, like, there were these cookies from Trader Joe's that I really loved. They were Dunker cookies that you could dip in your tea or your milk. And they were so good. And then I looked at the ingredients and it had palm oil. I'm like, are you kidding me? Now I can't eat this. The other reason why you should give up palm oil is child labor. And I mentioned that earlier and you're probably like, what is child labor? Child labor is when a child is forced to work, just like a, you know, an adult does, but they aren't really getting paid. And the people, not just the kids, people and the kids who harvest this palm oil are cutting down the palm trees. And these people are from third world countries like Thailand. And they're using them to make the palm oil for your precious L'Oreal makeup or your birthday party Doritos. And if you listened to any of our past episodes, you may not use L'Oreal makeup anymore because of their chemicals and artificial ingredients, or you may not eat Doritos anymore because of their packaging. But you don't want to use them at all because they have palm oil. And it's really, really hard. You know, me and Junie, we're both in Girl Scouts, and every year we have to sell Girl Scout cookies to support not just Girl Scouts, but our troop, so that we can do things like community service projects, and then also fun. We have a fun goal, and so one year, like, we went to Disneyland as a troop. Another goal was we went on a train ride. So it's just, you know, enrichment, things like that. And so it's hard trying to sell Girl Scout cookies because there was an article released a couple of months ago about how Girl Scouts tied to child labor and palm oil. And if you've read that blog post, you'll see that I looked up palm oil and child labor, and that was the first thing that came up on Google. And it's hard. Because they are working super duper hard for you to have these products, and they're not getting paid for it. And if they are getting paid, it's not enough to support their families. It's not enough to support the rent that they have to pay for their houses, and they're starving and they're tired and they deserve way better than that. So whatever you do, try to cut down on the amount of palm oil that you are consuming. I'm not saying get rid of it completely, because I don't know, it might be hard for you. There might be some things that you still need to buy that have palm oil. Just try to cut down on it. Like, say you wanted to buy Oreos, try to buy a brand of, like, off-brand Oreos that don't use palm oil. And then if there's any documentaries you want to see about deforestation, you can watch The Need to Grow, Kiss the Ground, or Before the Flood. And Before the Flood, it was the one that talked about the percentages of the farmland. And I recommend that one to older kids and teenagers and adults only, not any younger kids, just because of some of the other content isn't appropriate. But it has, the only reason why I'm recommending it is because it's got very, very good information on palm oil and deforestation. And lastly, for the forests, I recommend watching the show One Strange Rock on Disney Plus. They partnered with National Geographic, and it's hosted by Will Smith. And the first episode is called Gasp. Go and watch the first episode because they talk about how the Amazon rainforest is crucial to our survival. I think Junie is now going to tell you about reducing your carbon footprint.
Yes. So I know that in a few other episodes, actually, I mentioned reducing your carbon footprint a little bit, but in this episode, we're really going to dive deeper into it, and I'll explain a lot more. If you already know about it, and if you don't want to hear about it, feel free to skip over this part. I know we've already talked about it, but I recommend listening because there is a lot of good information. So let's start on pollution. Pollution is, as we know, our earth is collecting trash and plastic and not even physical items, even, you know, palm oil, as Milo Lani just talked about, all these things that are polluting the earth. You'll hear that, you will hear that word used a lot in our podcast. So we need to do our best to stop pollution from happening. And I'm not going to talk about that too much because I know this is the whole point of the podcast. I don't need to give a whole nother, now I'm not going to talk about pollution too much in this episode because our very first episode, Let's Talk Trash, covers pollution, and it goes pretty deep in talking about it, but I just wanted to mention it because it pretty much goes hand in hand with reducing your carbon footprint. So, why reduce carbon footprint? What even is a carbon footprint? So, your carbon footprint is, sorry, there's a plane going by right now, but a carbon footprint, as an example, when you drive a car, it could be anywhere. We'll just say Disneyland, for example. Say you're driving your car to Disneyland. As you're driving, your car is releasing carbon. Oh my gosh. Carbon dioxide? Is that it?
Some kind of carbon thing. I think it might be carbon monoxide. Okay. I don't know. I am not good with chemistry, so just some kind of carbon and other chemical that when mixed together, it can be deadly.
Yes. So as you're driving, your car releases some kind of chemical carbon that releases into the air, and fossil fuel is another really bad. So gasoline that you fill up your car with is made from, I believe, really old dinosaur fossils. I think that's what I heard. And so that's why it's called fossil fuel. And so, as you can imagine, fossil fuel is super bad for the environment, and that's why, I was about to say we didn't create Tesla. That's why Tesla created Tesla, is to reduce fossil fuel and hopefully reduce your carbon footprint a little bit. Because then it's all electric, you don't need any gasoline, therefore you're not using fossil fuel. So if you are on the market to buy a car, and I know you're probably sick of us saying this, but just because we say it's better to use this thing does not mean throw away your old perfectly good car and go buy a Tesla or other electric cars. Use your items until they're worn out, until you can't use them, until you literally can't use them anymore, or until it's dangerous to use, and then get a new car. And then consider, I know they're really expensive, but consider an electric car if you want. That's another easy way of reducing your waste is just use your items until you actually can't use them anymore, not until you just want a new item. But anyways, that's a whole nother episode. So
yeah, one more thing about driving. If you don't want to go electric, you can also use diesel gas. It doesn't work for every car. Do not put diesel in a gas-powered car because it will mess up your engine. If you have a diesel car, like maybe a big truck, or actually I had a friend who had, her dad had a gas-powered car and he got a diesel engine put into it. You don't have to do that, but if you have a diesel car, you can put something called biodiesel into it. And it smells way better than diesel because diesel smells pretty bad. But it's called biodiesel because it is made from waste. And it's being burned off into the car. It doesn't have a bad smell. And it's a whole lot better for the environment. I just wanted to mention that really fast.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I totally forgot about that. So one easy way, instead of going out and buying a new car, or instead of, I don't know, any drastic change, one really easy way to reduce your carbon footprint altogether is to just do less driving. And I know we've talked about this in another episode, but it's really, really important. If you don't have to drive there, consider walking or consider riding a bike or even taking a bus. Now, I know that it's completely different now in COVID, but in the time of recording this, there's a pandemic going on called COVID. So, so just consider driving less, using your car less. Don't go to, you know, the mall if you don't have to. And I know it makes it easier nowadays. My whole point was saying that nowadays during COVID, we can't go anywhere really. So it makes it easier to just drive less. You're reducing your carbon footprint. You're not using fossil fuel. And if you do choose to walk or ride a bike, it's really good exercise for you. And it gets you in really good health as well. So all in all, it's just way better to ride a bike or walk when you can. So now I am going to talk about planting trees and planting plants. So trees release, oh my gosh, why can't you think? Oxygen, right? Yes.
Yes, okay. It's basic photosynthesis. It takes in the carbon dioxide, and which is the carbon dioxide is what we breathe out, and then oxygen is what we breathe in. So they, if they were humans, they would be breathing in our carbon dioxide and breathing out oxygen for us to breathe.
Yes. So trees release oxygen, which is what we breathe. And so without trees, our world would just be even more nasty than it already is. We'd be breathing like really gross air. Basically, trees just help filter out the air and make our air a lot cleaner and a lot nicer. And honestly, your air would like be brown without trees.
It would look like Wall-E.
Ew, yeah.
When Wall-E was on Earth, that is what it would look like. It would look
totally
so gross.
I totally recommend seeing Wall-E if you haven't. It's kind of a really scary, weird, it's an interesting movie to watch.
It explains what will happen if we don't take action right now and start saving the planet.
Exactly.
Let's just say that.
Yes. So, planting trees is an absolutely wonderful way to help the environment. Give the environment a little pat on the back. You can get a tree, any kind of tree you want, and plant it. First of all, if you're going to plant it in a public place, you need permission. But you can plant it in your backyard or on. You have to do your own research because I don't know where you live and I don't know the situation that you have. But consider just getting plants and trees. Like I said, it's not just trees. So if you don't have room to plant a tree or if you don't want to plant a tree, just getting plants in general. You can get like a little house plant if you're in an apartment and it would still be doing better. Now, if you can't afford to buy a tree or if you don't want to do the work yourself, There's a totally 100% free swap that I recommend everybody switching to. It's called Ecosia, and it is a, it's basically a browser extension. It's pretty much the same as Google. So whenever you would look up, I don't know, cast iron skillet. Instead of looking cast iron skillet on Google, you would type it into Ecosia. And like I said, you just still download it. It's completely free. And with every, I don't know if it's every search or every 10 searches, I forget, they plant a tree. And it keeps track, so you can see how many trees you've planted and how many searches you've searched. So that is a, anybody can do that. Anybody and everyone can do that. It's available on all devices, Apple, Windows, Chromebook, any device you have, it's available on. There's really no excuse if you don't download it. It's completely free, and it plants trees, and it's just amazing. I could talk for days about it. So next, there's just one more thing I'd like to mention about plants, and it's actually quite interesting. I learned about it just last year, and I'm not sure the correct term. I call it a plant house. So they are houses built with, built where on the roof, it's basically grass. It's some kind of plant covering the roof. And it's a good way of cooling down your house. I know not every house can do it, but it's just, I mean, it's a pretty cool idea. I don't know too much about it. I don't have one myself. Maybe my Leilani can talk a little bit more about it, but, it's, plants have natural, this is gonna sound really weird, natural cooling properties. so they're just, it's just really cool. Again, I don't know too much about it. I recommend doing your own research, but that's another option if you are in the market of that.
Yeah, actually, I remember in Oregon, we actually saw a store that had that.
Oh, wow.
And we're like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. And then I also saw this, and please don't laugh, but I saw this on a Curious George show one time when I was like 9. They were talking about putting gardens on the roofs of buildings in the city.
Oh, yeah, I remember that episode.
Okay, so they had a whole rooftop garden, and it was really cool. And a lot of cities are doing that, especially because there's this thing called urban heating or urban greening. I don't remember what the correct term is.
I think it's urban greening.
Yeah, so urban means town. So there's these big cities like, say, San Diego, Los Angeles, New York, Seattle, whatever. A huge city. And they don't have a big amount of trees because they have too many buildings. And all that's there is just blacktop, and it reflects the heat off of it. And in the summer, it is just so hot. And we did this in Girl Scouts not too long ago. We learned about heating and climate change and all that. And we learned about how if you plant more trees or plants, it can help cool down the city. And so if you live in the city, say you live in an apartment and they have a flat roof, you can talk to whoever owns that building and ask if you can get a community garden put in on the roof. And the only reason, well, one of the only reasons why they put it on the roof is just because there's not enough space on the ground. All that they can do is put it on the roof. And it works. It gets the most amount of sunlight possible because it's not getting shadows on it from your house or the building you live on. It's getting direct sunlight. And I thought it was just really cool. The next thing that we were going to talk about is buying responsibly sourced products. And you might be thinking, wow, that's a lot of words right there. And I'm going to break it down for you. So responsibly sourced just means that it tells you like where it's from and where it's made. And if it's made responsibly, like, you know how you see a lot of stuff that says made in China and you think, oh, it's made in China. This is like $1. It's going to break tomorrow. kind of thing like that. So you can buy things with recycled materials, of course, and you can buy products from companies that give back. And I have two companies down here that I definitely recommend you buy from. Number one is Endangered Species Chocolate. Somebody posted on Instagram the other day that they were talking about all these responsibly sourced chocolates that they liked. And I mentioned Endangered Species Chocolate. I haven't eaten their chocolates in a long time, but they are really good. They have all sorts of different flavors, and with each flavor, it has a picture of an endangered species on it, and the wrapper has information all about that species. And this company donates 10% of their yearly proceeds, how much they get a year, to supporting wildlife conservation, or in other words, helping animals that are on the brink of extinction. And as of 2019, over the course of 3 years, they donated over $1.7 million. So 10% might not seem like a lot, but when you say they donated over $1.7 million over the course of 3 years, that's a lot of money to help the endangered species. And the second brand that I was going to talk about is Tom's Shoes. And you might have seen these before. They sell them at Whole Foods a lot. They're these really comfortable shoes. They look pretty cool too. And they used to have this thing. I mean, they still have it, but they used to do just this. It was called One for One, I believe, where for every pair of shoes that you bought, they would donate a pair to someone in need. And I thought that was really cool. And now they don't not only do just that, but they provide grants and community outreach programs. And I thought that was pretty cool. A few other tips on buying responsibly sourced products. Definitely check out companies that donate some of their proceeds to nonprofits like Endangered Species Chocolate. Buy artisanal and fair trade products, and they usually will say them on the packaging, like, this is a fair trade product, or this is an artisan product kind of thing. And also just make sure you know who you're buying from. Especially if you're buying from these really big companies, you don't know who exactly you're buying from. So when in doubt, just buy local or buy from small businesses. Especially because of COVID right now, a lot of small businesses are going out of business. And if it was you, you'd know, look, I need to support my family. So, you know, just doing a good turn and buy from a local shop, like a farmer's market, or buying from a small business, because they usually have like better fair trade and products that give back. You got to do your research, especially with what you're looking for, because I don't know what everybody shops for, but those are just some of my tips.
Yeah. So the last thing that we're going to talk about is that I'm going to talk about is how to promote this, how to get the word out and get other people doing it as well, get other people helping the environment and get other people saving the rainforest with you and other people and inspiring other people to join this lifestyle just like yourself, because we can't inspire every single person, but if every single person that listens to this podcast posts about it one time on their Instagrams or Facebooks or Twitter, wherever you do it, then more and more people get inspired and know about it, and it just helps everybody out. So, the first thing I'm going to talk about is raising awareness on social media. So, Instagram, I'm just going to use Instagram for an example, but this pretty much the same rules go for any social media platform that you have. But Instagram is a really good way to spread awareness on these very important topics. And I'll tell you why. Instagram is completely free, and it's one of the largest platforms. It's one of the largest social media platforms. Therefore, it has a huge audience, and people don't have to follow you to see your posts if your account is public. So it's a really great way to share photos and information. So that was more talking than I wanted to do. So basically what you should do, what I recommend doing if you are interested in spreading awareness and you want to get the word out, is you can do something as extravagant as designing your own pictures and your own posters and design your own way of promoting this lifestyle. That's what Milo, Lonnie, and I do. Or you can also do something as simple as just talking about it. And you can do an Instagram story just talking about it. Or you can literally just type it on a blank blank background if you want. It does not have to be hard. You can do one or as many as you want. So how I recommend getting these posts to be seen is tag your posts. No. How I recommend getting your posts to be seen is add hashtags to your posts. And I'll tell you why. Hashtags are how people find you, basically. Instagram, it's kind of scary, but Instagram follows you, tracks you, basically, and knows what you like, knows what you are interested in. They basically watch what you look at, so they know what kind of hashtags you're interested in. And a hashtag could be like hashtag environment, hashtag rainforest, hashtag zero waste, anything like that. And it just gets a lot more people to see it. Now, again, you can totally do posts on, you can totally promote this on a private account as well. I do the safest thing for you and what you feel comfortable with. Don't create a public account if you're not comfortable with it. That's definitely not what we're telling you to do. So if you can totally still post on private accounts and just have the people that follow you see it, and that's totally great. And if you are doing that, don't bother putting hashtags, because obviously it's only going to get promoted to the people that already follow you. But if it is on a public account, really push the hashtags on whatever posts you're posting about. So that more people see it, and so that more people can hopefully get inspired to start this lifestyle or just make one small change, because anything helps. And it goes the same for Facebook and Twitter, just like I said. With Twitter, I would not recommend so much doing pictures. It's more of just typing. And then Facebook, I'm not on Facebook, so I don't know too much about it, but I assume it's pretty much the same. But even if you just post one time and one person sees it and gets inspired, even if you only post one time and that one post one person sees and they get inspired to start this lifestyle, that's still making a difference. And you have to remember that if you do want to start promoting this, even if one person gets inspired and changes one thing, it's still making a difference. And that's what you have to remember. It's not about changing the entire world yourself, because that's impossible. If every person recruits one person, then that's huge. So just remember, it doesn't have to be huge. Don't get discouraged if your posts aren't being seen. Now, if you want a whole episode talking about how to promote a eco-friendly Instagram or blog or whatever, we do have a lot of tips on that, and we can make an episode on that for you if you guys would like. Just remember, we're not the biggest platform at all. We are still learning ourselves, but we do have some tips to share.
All right, so this episode was going to be, it ended up being a lot longer than we were expecting, but we hoped that you guys enjoyed listening to this one, and I think that was all that we were going to go over today.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode. We hope you enjoyed it and learned a little something new. subscribe to stay tuned. We post new episodes every Friday and have a plethora of interesting content planned for you guys in the near future.
When you aren't listening to our podcast, feel free to give us a follow on our Instagram page or our Pinterest page, as well as our blog. We are at Sustain Loving Kindness Podcast on Instagram and Pinterest, and you can find the link to our blog on our podcast page labeled as our website.
We love each and every one of you so much. Have a wonderful day, and we can't wait to see you guys back.